So my message title today, since it is Back to Church Sunday, may need to have some correlation with that. I don't know. Usually they try to try to tie it into whatever your Sunday you're celebrating, right? Like Easter, you want it to be like an Easter message title. So your title today, just simple, three words. Let's go back. Let's go back. How many of y'all have ever thought, man, I'd like to go back to when I was in high school or when I was a kid? Now, some of us in here, that would be like in the 1800s. Well, you know. But we think, don't we? We're like, I'd really like to go back. I was having fun then. Back then, we didn't think we were having that much fun, did we? Back then, we thought we got in trouble a lot and did goofy stuff. But now we'd like to go back and be like, ooh, I'd like to relive that again. That might feel good this time. Depending on what you were doing, it may be okay to go back. Amen? But that's your title. Let's go back. First part of it is actually, what am I doing here? What am I doing here? Let's go back. Y'all know that August and September are usually the months that we start getting back to many of the activities that we do, don't we? Like back to school, back to sports, although sometimes now sports are 24/7, 365 all year long, so you're never really missing anything to go back to. Amen. Maybe even back to work after summer vacation. We all like those, don't we? It's also going back to church time. It's going back to church time. Going back to faith, trusting and confiding in the loving God and Savior that we have. Amen. So I ask you again, let's go back. Those watching at home, give me an amen if you want to go back. Amen. Your first scripture today, y'all gonna love the scripture today, because there's a few of them. Normally we try to stop, maybe five or six. Today we got more than that in the first section. Amen. But your scripture today is going to come. The first one's coming from the book of Jeremiah, chapter 2, verses 4 through 13. Jeremiah 2. Verses 4 through 13. Those online that are watching, give me an amen if you're there in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 2, verse 4 through 13. NIV version says this. Y'all ready? Hear. Everybody say hear.
Yeah.
Hear the word of the Lord, you descendants of Jacob, all you clans of Israel. This is what the Lord says. Ooh, I like it when the Lord talks. How about you? This is what the Lord says. What fault did your ancestors find in me that they strayed so far from me? They followed worthless idols and became worthless themselves. They did not ask, where is the Lord? Who brought us out of Egypt and led us through the barren wilderness, through a land of deserts and ravines, a land of drought and utter darkness, a land where no one travels and no one lives. I brought you into a fertile land to eat its fruit and rich produce. But you came and defiled my land and made my inheritance detestable. The priest did not ask, where is the Lord? Those who deal with the law did not know me. The leaders rebelled against me. The prophets prophesied by Baal, sorry about that, following worthless idols. Therefore, I bring charges against you again, declares the Lord, and I will bring charges against your children's children. Whew, that's a many generations, isn't it? And verse 10 says, cross over to the coast of Cyprus and look. Send to Kedar and observe closely. See if there has been anything like this. Has the nation ever changed its gods? Yet they are not gods at all. Amen. Let me get the second part of that. But my people have exchanged their glorious God for worthless idols. Ooh, y'all hear that? But my people have exchanged our glorious God for worthless idols. Ain't that so much what the world's like today? Amen. Verse 12 says, be appalled at this, you heathens, and shudder with great horror, declares the Lord. My people have committed two sins. They have forsaken me. This is the Lord speaking, guys. My people have committed two sins. They have forsaken me, the spring of living water, and have dug their own cisterns, broken cisterns that cannot hold water. Broken cisterns that cannot hold the living water of God. Amen. Sorry, those are stapled in the wrong order. Jeremiah, the prophet, the weeping prophet. It's no wonder he wept. It's no wonder he wept, guys. Because of the sins of Israel. Because of what they were doing to our God and His living water. Jeremiah spoke on behalf of God, didn't he? Always trying to tell and get Israel to repent. To repent and go back to what? Godliness. Jeremiah always tried to get him to repent and go back to godliness. That sounds like a lot of messages that we preach today, don't it? Everybody needs to repent and go back to godliness. And maybe over half of the percent that claim that they're Christians today need to repent and truly go back to godliness. Amen? But God speaks to us, asking us to return to God. Asking us to return to Him. As a result, Jeremiah encountered tremendous opposition in his role, including plots against him. They're trying to get rid of him because they didn't like what he was saying. Amen. He persisted, though, even through all those trials and opposition. He persisted in speaking against the sins of Israel. Jeremiah says that he had to speak against sins. In verse 20 and 9 of Jeremiah, His word is like my heart, like a fire shut up in my bones. I am weary of holding it in. Indeed, I cannot hold that in. Israel never asked themselves, did they? They never said, hey, what am I doing? What am I doing? Am I off track? They thought they were right where they needed to be, didn't they? Hey, too many people in the world today think they're right where they need to be. And that's because Satan's got them lying from the floor up. And they bought into it each and every day. And just like Israel, they may never ask himself, what am I doing here? What am I doing here? Is it wrong? Is it right? God had brought them out of bondage. God had brought Israel out of bondage. Amen. For some of us that are Christians today that are not living in the right way, like the Israelites were, guess what? He brought you out of bondage. He brought me out of bondage. Not to live on our own accord. Not to live how Satan wants us to live. Not to live how the world wants us to live. Amen. But to live how God wants us to truly live. God brought them out of bondage, out of the wilderness, into the lands of flowing with what? Milk and honey. Ooh, that's some sweet land, ain't it? flow of milk and honey. And they were still rejecting Him. Amen. I don't know about you, but God still fills my life with milk and honey today. No matter what I do to Him. Amen. But we got to get back to Him. If we stepped away from Him, He's waiting for us. Amen. Just like Israel had stepped away from Him. He was still mad at them, wasn't He? He was still disappointed in them. He was still upset with them. Amen. But He was still loving them, waiting for them to turn around and say, "Hey, wait a minute. I think I'm doing something wrong. I want to go back." Amen. Jeremiah shares God's love of Israel as a bride. He asked, "What are you doing in this adulterous type life?" The bride, being Israel, had forsaken and abandoned their husband, or God. How many of us have forsaken Him today or abandoned Him today? Israel had once been God's bride. And the bride is an imagery that appears in Scripture for the relationship between God and us, His people. Amen. God tells Hosea, "Go, take to yourself an adulterous wife and children of unfaithfulness, because the land is guilty of adultery in departing from the Lord." He wants us to come back to Him today. The ones that have let Satan lie to them, let Satan snow over their heart, He wants them to come back, to go back. Amen. Ezekiel, the book of Ezekiel, chapter 16, verses 24 through 32 says this: "You build a mound for yourself and made a lofty shrine in every public square. At every street corner, you built your lofty shrines and degraded your beauty, spreading your legs like an increasing promiscuity to anyone who passed by. You engaged in prostitution with the Egyptians, your neighbors with large genitals, and aroused my anger with your increasing promiscuity. So I stretched out my hand against you and reduced your territory. I gave you over to greedy of your enemies, the daughters of the Philistines, who were shook by your lewd conduct. You engaged in prostitution with the Syrians too, because you were insatiable. And even after that, you were not satisfied. Then you increased your promiscuity to include Babylonia, a land of merchants. But even with this, you were not satisfied. I'm filled with fury against you, declares the Sovereign Lord. When you do all these things, acting like a brazen prostitute, when you built your mounds at every street corner and made your lofty shrines in the public square, in every public square, you were like a prostitute because you scorned payment. You adulterous wife, you prefer strangers to your own husband." Israel was known as a shrine builder. Think about that. They built their lives. They built their lofty shrines instead of doing what God needed them to do. Amen. What on earth are they doing in this situation? Israel, the church of Ephesians tells us that Christ loved the church and gave Himself up for her. Amen. To make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the Word, and to present herself or her to Himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. That's exactly what He did for us when we accepted Him as Jesus as our Lord and Savior, isn't it? He cleaned up any nastiness that Satan had running through us. And he brings us now as holy and blameless. At that time, though, the Israelites had turned away from that. They were running for their own sake, for their me society, like we have one now. It was all about them. They weren't thinking about God, that made them holy and blameless and without wrinkle and without stain. Amen. Jeremiah tells those who have strayed like Israel, consider what's really happened. Israel, no doubt, has been an unfaithful wife. Have we? Amen. Have we? And he sees them. Amen. Who have forsaken God, the fountain of our living water, and dug out cisterns for themselves. Cracked cisterns cannot hold water. Amen. The broken cisterns cannot hold water. Cracked hearts cannot hold the living water of God. When we run around for Satan, we build our own cisterns. We build them with cracked hearts. So I ask you today again, let's go back. Let's go back and get our heart where God had it when we first accepted Him. Amen. Cisterns, though, were a big part of daily life in the ancient Middle East. This was a desert climate back then. Still is today, isn't it? And there was no such thing as indoor plumbing. They didn't have a his or her bathroom, sort of say. You had to do it on your own. Amen. Cisterns were underground storage tanks that collects runoff rain. In the height of summer, the cisterns offered a supply of water. But it was water that didn't necessarily taste the best. What? Think about that. It'd been sitting down there. That'd be kind of nasty. Yeah. It'd have a nasty flavor to it, wouldn't it? The living water from a stream or a brook was far better and could sustain life. Amen. It tasted a lot better too. Amen. A fresh brook rather than a cistern of water. And that's the life that God gives us. That is the living water that God wants to put in our cistern hearts to maintain us. Israel failed to maintain the cistern of their spiritual life. And that's what really happened at that point. What on earth are you doing here? Ask him that. Why have you torn God's house down so bad that you're building up yourself rather than let me and my living water and holy water take over? Amen. They allowed their spiritual life and their cisterns to go into a poor working state. You kind of think of some of the water companies here in the state, because some of the local water companies are pretty nasty. They're having to be taken over by West Virginia Water because their cisterns, I guess you could say, don't taste too good. They don't have a good quality water, we'll say. The people have become cracked cisterns that cannot hold water. God's words of comfort and assurance do flow into them. But those precious blessings flow right back out. If we're not truly in tune with what God wants from us, the living water flows right back out of us. Because Satan's sitting there telling us lies all day, day in and day out. Amen. My people have committed two sins. He said that. My people have committed two sins. They've dug their own cisterns. We've dug our own hearts. And they've broken, and those broken cisterns cannot hold water. Anytime, if we're not truly repentant to God, and the way Satan wants us to live, that living water that he's trying to put inside of us will not stay. It'll just run back out like those cisterns. Amen. Jeremiah gives us and Israel a solution. Ask yourself, what are you doing here? What are we doing? Are we mixing up the well? Are we blocking it off? Are we stopping the living water from flowing freely through us? And our answer could be, I can fix this. I can repair the cistern. But guess what? That human side of us can't repair anything, can we? And again, you know, August is the month that we start to go back to many of those activities. Amen. And it's also going back to church time. I ask you today, are you ready to go back? Are you ready to go back to where you should be and not where Satan's trying to tell you your most fun is? Are you ready to get that living water back? Are you ready to go back to the fountain of the living water? Jesus said in a loud voice, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and what? Drink. If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, and the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow within us. Are you ready to get back to those streams of living water? Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, again, I thank you for your message today, Lord. Lord, I thank you for getting Bronnie out of the way today, Lord. Lord, and your Holy Spirit speaking through me, Jesus. Lord, I thank you for your words and the message and not mine, Lord. Lord, I thank you for the blessing and the message that you sent to Israelites, Lord, to Jeremiah, Lord, that we need to get back to you, Lord. We need to come back. We need to go back and get rid of the world that we've allowed to sink into our heart, sister and Lord. Lord, we need a tug back around your shoulder, Lord, around your mercy, around your grace, Lord. Lord, we need to get that living water back in us, Lord. Lord, that Satan has got us fooled about, that we're living the way we need to do. Lord, Lord, the Israelites were fooled about the way they were living too, Lord. Lord, you sent that mighty messenger to them, Jesus. Lord, we ask you today, Lord, touch any one of us here, Lord. Lord, it needs to come back to you better today, Lord. Ones that are watching online, Lord, that wants to get back to where they were, Lord. Lord, get back in your house, Lord. Get back in your word, Lord. More importantly, Lord, get back in your mercy, your grace, and your Jesus love of the salvation of the cross, Lord. Lord, we thank you for each and everything that you do, Lord. In your name I pray. Everybody say it.